don't know why. Jesus loves me, oh, I don't know why he came.
Morning. The Lord has the power. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord for His grace. Amen. Amen. No songs to be sung today. Oh, wonderful. Let's sing and change the order of the service before the pastor comes. Hallelujah.
Praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord. Praise awaits you, Lord. Praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord. To you, O man.
Hallelujah.
A God for you, praise. Praise awaits you in Zion.
Let's sing that one again.
Praise awaits you, Jesus. Jesus, praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord. To you our vows will all be fulfilled. Praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord. Oh, Lord, you hear
Amen.
To you, oh men, will direct me with service, your desire.
So we lift the name of Jesus. This morning,
I enter through the blood of the Lamb.
Don't get left behind. Well, let's enter.
Enter
to worship you, to worship you only.
Father, we thank you that you got another opportunity, Lord, to come
Amen.
To worship you upon this day.
Amen.
Just longing that our service
Hallelujah.
Would be good and right and acceptable
Amen.
Before thee. Father, just your grace, just your mercy,
Amen.
And each of us submit ourselves unto thee upon
Amen.
This day. Thank you for song worship, Lord. Thank you, Father, for opportunity to express ourselves in song.
Amen.
Father, longing, Lord Jesus, that our souls would just enter into that place. That your perfect will may be done.
Amen.
That, Father, the things of man would pass away.
Amen.
That, Father, that which is divine. Father, that which is perfect.
Amen.
That which is complete, Lord, may be established in us.
Amen.
Father, bless your people upon this day. Even as we've sung, touch your people.
Amen.
Oh, Father, even as, Lord, we've sung about you. Oh, Father, how we just want to give it all to you.
Amen.
Bless each person in the post of duty upon this day. Father, we're glad, Lord, to be your sons. We're glad to be your daughters. We're glad to represent you in this day. So help us, Lord, we pray. Bless your people gathering to the north, south, and east, and west. Father, bless your bride upon this day, we pray. And as you open up your word, lead us, Lord. Open up understanding, grant us wisdom. Grant us the spirit of revelation and understanding, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. We do greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Sister Ruda is asking for prayer. She's at work today. She can't make it for service. Sister Dube, I'd like to thank the Lord for a safe journey to and from UK. May God bless you and thank you for your prayers. And then we have visitors, Brother Sam, Sister Lydia's brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Brother Sam is not a stranger to us. And also Victor from Brazil, Sister Lillian's friend. God bless you. Amen. Welcome. It's wonderful to see people in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Book of John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Let's read the first six verses there. Just really do appreciate some of the testimonies this week from last weekend. I heard from three people who really, really, the Lord touched them. So I really thank the Lord for that. I'm sure you rejoice as well when people are healed. Some people had afflictions for a long time. Oh, it was really, really good to hear. So we really do appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Let's read John 17. Let's read the first six verses. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Let's just pray for our sisters at work. Father, we do dedicate our sister Ruda up unto thee. Please watch over her, Lord. Bless her upon this day. Anybody else that's not here upon this day, we lift them up into thine hands. Please protect them and keep them and bless them, we ask. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Bless it unto us, Lord, if we could enter the mystery of that word we've read. Oh, Father, how eternal it is. Guide us, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just wanted to pick up from where we were a couple of weeks back, just before we had the meetings last weekend, when we were looking at the bride. You know, the whole aim of what you're trying to build up to is, as we said at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, now that quote when the prophet says, when the bride realizes who she is. Now on Wednesday we were speaking about, you know, the importance of letting the word bathe down. Now the prophet says, you know, that the people are beginning to hear the message, but it's pretty intellectual. You know, the message does really appeal sometimes in that realm, if you're not careful, in the intellectual realm. But the real power of the message, what the message was given for, was to reveal two things. Was to reveal who he is and to reveal who you are. Because you can't separate these two things. Just as much as when Adam was first formed, Eve was in him. You know, they were one being until the mystery was unveiled and Eve was taken out of his side. But that was the mystery. You couldn't separate Adam and Eve. You know, that was the mystery that God had in his mind. And so, you know, the only way that we ever get rapturing faith, or the only way we ever get faith authority, is when we realize who we are. There's no other way. But this realization, as we've been saying at the prayer meetings the last couple of weeks, is there's partial realization. You know, you can realize something to a certain extent. And to the measure that you realize who you are as a believer, not who you are as just a natural person, because, I mean, we're just nobodies. You know, outwardly, we're just nobodies in this world. But until we realize who we are in Christ, who we are in the eyes of the Lord, you know, the greater that realization is, as that realization dawns, our authority goes with it. Amen. As that realization settles in upon us, you know, our faith rises up as well, because we realize that we are ambassadors. We're more than ambassadors. We're sons and daughters of God. So if we could really fully realize that, and that's why I took what I did at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, when I said, you know, there's only one thing the prophet said is needed. We have a fully mature word. We have the word which has fully mature once again. We have a message that has been sent to us in this age that has come and shone the original light on the original seed of the word. So where Martin Luther had just a measure of the seed, you know, Wesley had a greater measure, the seed was a little bit more golden brown. The Pentecostals had a greater measure than that. But the fullness of the maturing of the word itself was reserved to Revelations 10. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God. Amen. The mystery of God. And in the mystery of God, you are in the mystery. This threefold mystery. So you find yourself in the mystery of God. So the full maturing of the word. So we have a fully mature word. Yeah, we have everything that you need in the word. But there's only one thing that's necessary now. It's for the seed that's in you and the seed that's in me to come to maturity to match the word. Because there's a seed in us. There's a, you know, something that came from God that he placed in you from before the foundation of the world. When yet you were a baby, when you were an infant in your mother's arms, there was something of God in you. There was his attribute in you because you were his son, you were his daughter even before you knew it. You know, and there's that sat in you all those years of your youth, all the days of your infancy, until finally your attribute found you. The word found you. The word shone upon that attribute inside you. And something came to life. I like the way the prophet expressed it in the message, communion. Let me read this at the beginning. He says, he's trying to say to people, to get to people to be sincere about communion. You know, and he's using it in this way that he puts it across. And it's really a masterpiece how he explains it. And it's just reminded me, we want to have communion service on Friday evening. So it's a good one to start the service reading about communion. The prophet says, like everything else, you've got to be sincere. God wants the depths of your heart. You know, so for the Lord to get us to a place of worship, that we worship from the depths of our heart. You know, that our worship, our approach, our, you know, our service is really acceptable. It comes with revelation. Amen. Now, if you realize fully what he's done for you, if you realize fully his love for you, if you realize fully that I've loved you with an everlasting love, if you realize the power of predestination, Amen. What God has predestined, because as many as he has called, he has already glorified them. Amen. Now, there's so many things that if it would bathe down on us, it would not just be something to increase our knowledge, but it would affect us even in our approach. As we said the other week, if you realize that that person sitting next to you is just not somebody from Africa, from Brazil, from somewhere else, but if that's a son or daughter of God, there's something eternal sitting next to you. There's someone sitting next to you who is eternal in their soul as God is eternal. They're just as eternal as God is eternal because they are son or daughter of God. They never originated in time. They never originated just by the desires of the flesh of your mother and your father. But it was a divine will. Amen. It's a divine purpose being fulfilled. There's a divine call. There's a soul inside of that person that's worth 10,000 worlds. But like I said on Wednesday, as long as that just stays intellectual, it doesn't affect the way we look at one another. But if you could let this real mystery, which has been unveiled in the message of who we are in Christ, if you could let it sink down to our souls and, you know, really dawn upon us, we'd really look at things in a different way. And according to our revelation, it's reflected in our attitude. And that's why you'll see some people are very committed. Some people would give anything for this message. Some people would do anything for a brother or a sister. And that's a real reflection of something which has dawned upon them. You know, they've moved a little bit further in this realm of maturity in realizing, you know, what this is that we're involved in. You know, but there's other people that maybe it's still, oh, you know, this is interesting. This is just, these people take scriptures in a different way than other churches. No, maybe they sing a little bit different than other people. No, they speak about this prophet of theirs and stuff. You know, it hasn't dawned on them, so it hasn't affected their worship yet. It hasn't affected their attitude. It hasn't separated them from the world. It hasn't separated them. Because when Melchizedek came to Abraham, it separated Abraham.
Amen.
Yeah, when the great eternal came and visited Abraham, it wasn't that Abraham came to Melchizedek. It was Melchizedek who came to Abraham. It was this great eternal being coming to find his son. And when he found his son, when he spoke to Abraham, when he spoke to him, when the word came forth, when God came in that age and brought the revelation of himself to Abraham, Abraham was part of the rest. They were in the Tower of Babel system. You know, they were living at that age, Genesis 11. There'd just been the confusion of Babel. There'd been, you know, man's preeminence and man lifting himself up. But once that revelation struck Abraham, it was automatic. He separated himself.
Amen.
And he started to seek now a city whose builder and maker was God.
Amen.
You know, he started to seek an inheritance. There was something inside of him that came to life that he realized, I'm not just the son of Terah. You know, an idol worshiper. I'm not just the uncle of Lot. I'm not just the husband of Sarah, but I'm a son of God.
Amen.
I'm a person of a great destiny. There's a purpose, there's a destiny, there's a calling. And he realized that was the most important thing.
Amen.
Because it was revelation to him. It was something which really, really he caught by faith, by revelation. It had an effect. It separated him from the entire system of that day.
Amen.
And it started him seeking. It started him searching. There was a deep inside of him that was seeking for a city because he had met the king of the city. He met Melchizedek. You know, so he was seeking for the something which the deep inside of him was telling him it was there. He didn't know exactly where it was. He didn't know exactly what it was. But he couldn't be at rest anymore. He wouldn't put down foundations in this world. But he dwelt in tabernacles. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were testifying. They were seeking a city to come.
Amen.
They were seeking a, you know, because there was something eternal in them. There was something eternal they'd experienced. They'd heard from eternity. And that something inside of them responded to that. So that's why these things, they're simple many times. You know, you go and take it the way the prophet speaks about it. But in that simplicity is such a depth. There's such a truth. There's such a virtue. There's something inside of there that if it dawns upon your soul, if it strikes you in the right place, you'll never be able to leave it for the rest of the days of your life. You know, because it's something so true. It's something so pure. It's something that brings everything together. You know, everything. So the prophet says, so we're doing this because he said so, communion, because it's his order. So we want to come up with deepness of sincerity, knowing that by God's grace we've been saved. And we love him. And we feel his presence. And we see it change our lives. Our whole being is changed. We're different people. We don't live like we used to. We don't think like we used to. He says, like in the book here, he was speaking about the church age book, speaking about the book of life. Then he goes on to speak about it. He says, I was saying this. William Branham, well, 40 years ago, the William Branham isn't the same one tonight.
Amen.
If somebody back there would say William Branham, he was a rank rascal. See, because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. In their nature, I was a sinner. I came to the world a liar. And all the habits of the world laid right in me. But down in there too was another nature present. See, it was predestinated. Was in there by God. In the same body, see, two natures in there. Now that's the mystery, because there's a lot of people who don't have that. And for you to have that, that's grace. And for that, you to realize that, you know, that you cannot be overcome. The devil can never defeat you. Because you are as undefeatable as God is undefeatable. Because your soul isn't of this world. Your soul was there before the devil was there. And your soul will be there when the devil isn't there anymore. So you start to realize that, no, this is not something which is light.
Yes.
This is something which is extremely powerful.
Amen.
You start to realize that it's impossible for you to be deceived.
Amen.
You can't deceive the word. It's impossible for the word to be deceived. You cannot deceive the elect. It's impossible. Now, your mind, your natural mind may get confused about certain things. But like Brother Lubanza always says, listen to your soul.
Amen.
If you can hear from your soul, that soul inside of you is always going to point you back to the North Star.
Amen.
If you can just get quiet before the Lord, just get yourself settled. Just let the storms in your mind, let the greatest battle pass away. And just let your soul express itself. That soul cannot be deceived. It's impossible for the elect. It's impossible. You cannot deceive the elect. You cannot deceive the elect. God cannot lose his own. God can. Yet God would have to lose a part of himself. For God to lose you, if you're a son or daughter of God, God has to lose a part of himself. A part of eternal life has to perish. It's impossible for eternal life to perish. But that's speaking of that soul. So that soul was in you when you were in your mother's arms. Before you could talk. Yeah. That was in you. That seed, that soul, that something, that mysterious something was inside of you. And that's why I love the message when the prophet gets to the very end, the last few months, he gets onto this every single message. When he speaks about your soul is one of the genes of God. Your soul is a divine attribute. Your soul came from God and therefore it goes back to God. But there's multitudes, you'll see, he says billions. I do not like that. There's billions of people that don't have that something inside of them that will respond.
Amen.
That's how when God manifests himself and God reveals himself in this age, people don't recognize that it's God.
Amen.
But you, the moment the light crossed your path, you were never the same.
Amen.
Something came to life. It wasn't you that brought it to life, because it wasn't you that put it there.
Amen.
He put it there, therefore he has to quicken that seed.
Amen.
And in due season, the seeking shepherd came and found you.
Amen.
In due season, Melchizedek came to you,
Amen.
The seed of Abraham.
Amen.
And as soon as he reveals who he is and you realize who he is, you start to realize who you are.
Amen.
And there comes this realization. Friends, there's power in realization.
Amen.
It's like a prodigal son.
Amen.
The prodigal son was always a son.
Amen.
No matter what he did, no matter how much he went down to the pig pen, no matter how much he put shame upon his natural Amen. Father and so forth, he was always a son.
Amen.
He was always a son. It wasn't his repentance to his father that made him a son.
Amen.
But there had to come a point in time that there came a realization.
Yes. Amen.
You see, something had to come, some supernatural something had to visit him in that condition.
Amen.
And the Bible says he came to himself.
Amen.
Now, he came to himself because he was a son.
Amen.
If he wasn't a son, he could never have come to himself.
Amen.
But because he was a son, there could come a realization
Amen.
That in my father's house,
Amen.
There's bread enough and to spare.
Amen.
Sure, I am perishing in this kind of a condition. Yet this isn't worthy of a son of such a father.
Amen.
And that's exactly the same as you and I.
Amen.
It's exactly the same. There came a time of realization.
Amen.
And we've got to get deeper and deeper to perfect realization, the prophet says. To go from partial realization. And that's why God sends the eagle anointing. He sends the cherub in this age. To come and bathe down upon us. He brings the message of the hour. He brings revealed truth. He brings exactly what we need to hear in this day.
Amen.
And the closer and closer it got to the end after the seals, this is something the prophet stayed on continually.
Amen.
Because the Pentecostals were trusting in speaking in tongues. They said, you have eternal life if you speak in tongues. The Methodists said, if you shout, you know, you get so full of joy that you shout. No, different people said different things. Then the prophet now, because in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God, the mystery of God, friends, this great mystery of God, which was hidden, was partially understood through the ages, but it's been unveiled.
Amen.
And it's a mighty unveiling. And all that we need to do is to lay in the presence of that. And let that bathe down. Let it soak in. The prophet says the bride, she's beginning to hear the message. He says, but she's still plenty green. All she needs to do is to lay in the presence of the sun. To bake that greenness out of her. Until she becomes bread on his table. And that's the truth, friends. Such a truth. That's how the prophet says it. He says, Charles and Ella Branham, by their nature I was a sinner. He says, but there was another nature in there. He says, but I only catered to one. He only catered to one. As it grew, I goo-gooed as a baby. Dada. First thing you know, I became a liar. Become everything else that's a sinner because I raised up that way. But down in there was a little speck of life all the time. I used to remember as a little boy, says, I hope I'm not taking too long, sitting out on the creek bank. And he speaks of when he was a young boy before he met the Lord. And he'd go and he'd sit out on the creek bank and he'd see a flower growing. And he would look and say, but where did this flower come from? He said, just a few months ago, this place here was completely frozen and covered over with snow. He says, and before that, when I used to come out here fishing, running away from the immorality at my father's house, I used to come out here and I'd make a campfire in exactly the same place. And I would bake this earth with the campfire. But yet, after that heat and after that cold, there's something comes to life. A flower expresses itself. And something inside of the prophet, even in his darkness as a sinner, there was something that would speak to him there. And say, where did you come from? Then he says, and when the leaves would come back on the trees in the springtime, he said, I'd look and I'd say, but where did you come from? What's the great purpose? What's the great plan behind all of these things? Just looking inside of nature. He says, and I would think of that many times. And he says, what was it? There was another William Branham. See, a little spot of eternal life down there. From the genes of God. The word of God that was placed in there. And each one of you can think of similar things. You see, it was working. And every single one of us can remember that. When everybody else would be gets so far maybe in ungodliness and there was a something inside of you that told you that's enough. When other people would be blaspheming and saying all manner of evil. I remember walking past a Catholic church with my friends. And there was a crucifix. And there was Jesus on the cross. And my friend started to insult Jesus on the cross. And there was just something inside of me that said, that's a step too far. Amen. That's a step too far. And when people would start to blaspheme, there was something inside of you that would say, I'm not going to get myself involved in that. Though you grew up as a heathen and as a pagan. You didn't know anything about truth and faith and righteousness and repentance. But there was something inside of you. There was something inside of you that was wanting to express itself. There was something inside of you that was different than the life that you received from your mother and your father. There was another nature inside of you. He says, you see a little spot. He says, the word of God that was placed in there. He says, and then he said, I'd look up to the trees. He says, but yet all at once, one day, I looked up and I said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. There's something calling. Like my little eagle story, I'm not a chicken. There's something up yonder somewhere. Oh, great Jehovah. Whoever you are, open up. I want to come home. There's something in me calling. Then I was born again. And in the church age book, he shows us that only the elect can be born again. The Bible says, because we are sons, he has poured upon us the spirit of adoption. He didn't pour on us the spirit of adoption to make us sons, but because we were sons, therefore he poured upon us the spirit of eternal life. If you weren't a son, you'll never be a son. If you weren't a daughter, you'll never be a daughter of God. You never will. It's just not possible to be. But still God, as we'll see just now, he still has grace upon everybody. Amen. That even if you're not his son, even if you're not his daughter, he opens the arms of grace to you that you can still come into eternal life. That's the goodness of God. He says, then I was born again. That little life was laying there. The life of water was poured upon it and it began to grow. Now, the old life was forgiven. Put in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered no more. Now we stand justified as though we had never sinned in the presence of God. So he says, then when we come to the Lord's table, we must come in reverence, love and respect. Look where we would have been if it hadn't have been for him. See, look where you would have been. Oh, friends, I really do think it should affect every aspect of our lives. It should affect the way you look at other people. It should affect the way you look at your brother, your sister. It should affect the way you look at the call of God upon your life. Look at the ordinances of God, the statutes in his house. You know, if that really dawns upon you, this great privilege, then he goes to speak about it in, I think it's in the message, leadership. When he speaks of that colored slave, who was different than all the rest. We know the story so well, but sometimes we've heard them so long, friends, that it hasn't dawned on us anymore. We can get an immunity to the message because we've heard the things too many times. But sometimes it's really good to go back and say, Lord, let this bathe down once again. Let the real power of what's been said in these messages dawn upon me once again. And he speaks of the slave buyer coming to the plantation wanting to buy a slave. And he sees all the slaves, and there's another slave who's different than the rest. And all the rest of them are bowed down and beaten and downcast because of what they're going through. And it was natural for them to be like that because they'd been taken from home, taken from all that they loved, and had been brought into a place that they didn't want to be. But there was one slave that stood with his head up. There was one that conducted himself different than the rest. So this man says to the plantation owner, I want to buy that slave. And he said, he's not for sale. He says, why? I want to buy him. He says, he's not for sale. He says, there's something different about him. Do you feed him different than the rest? He says, no, I don't feed him any different than the rest. He eats in the galley with the rest of them. I don't treat him any different than the rest. He's exactly the same as the rest. He sleeps in the same place. He says, but he's different. What makes him different? He says, I used to wonder the same thing myself until one day in investigation, I found out that back home in the homeland, his father is the king of the tribe. And though he's in exile, though he's been separate, though he's in bondage now, that there's something inside of him that he knows he's a child of a king. Amen. And that's why he conducts himself the way that he does. Amen. And friends, that's what realization will do to you. Amen. It'll make you and I conduct ourselves like children of the king. Amen. And if we see the king when he came himself, Jesus, he wasn't arrogant. Amen. He wasn't proud. Amen. The Bible says, though he was God, yeah? He never took that as something to be grasped. He never took that as something to boast about. But instead, with that realization, he humbled himself. Amen. He washed the feet of his disciples. Amen. Then he humbled himself even further to the death of the cross. Amen. You know, so this kind of realization doesn't make a person proud. Doesn't make a person arrogant. It makes a person responsible. Amen. It makes a person reverent. Amen. It makes a person worshipful. Amen. It makes a person esteem the things of God. Amen. It makes a person esteem their heavenly calling. Amen. That's what it does. Paul says we've received a heavenly calling. We partakers of a heavenly calling. That's what it does. Oh, friends, that's why when you see people that are arrogant with the message, it's all head knowledge. Amen. The prophet says that when that wheat, we saw, we have a field of wheat just behind our house. Amen. And you find that wheat, when it's growing, it sticks up like that. And it's even. But wait until just before harvest time, it bows itself down. Amen. When the head is full of good things, Amen. When the wheat is coming to golden brown, all of the wheat is bowed down. Bow down in submission like that. And that's always a sign of someone who's becoming golden brown. It's not something that's going to make you proud. But it's something that's going to make you thankful. It's something that's going to say, I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he first loved me. So the prophet speaks about that kind of a thing. He says, so he finishes when he speaks about that slave. He says, what a rebuke to Christianity. We're supposed to represent God and eternal life.
Amen.
There's only one form of eternal life. That's God. He alone has eternal life. And we are products of His. Because we're genes of His Spirit. That's inside of you today. When you sit there, that soul that's inside of you is a gene of His Spirit.
Amen.
That's a serious thing to think
Amen.
About.
Amen.
That's something inside of you that responds to the Word.
Amen.
That's something that battles with your mind when your mind wants to say this, that, and there. And there's something inside of there that when it speaks, everything else keeps quiet.
Amen.
That's something inside of you when you allow that thing to express itself, there's authority.
Amen.
When you allow that to express itself, it glorifies Him.
Amen.
When you allow that to have the preeminence. And that was the third fold of the mystery of God. Christ, the mystery of God. He's seeking a people in whom He can have preeminence.
Amen.
And He knew the only way I can have preeminence in people is I've got to put my seed in them.
Amen.
And in due season, the light will strike the seed. That seed will start to grow and there's going to be a people in whom I have a preeminence. It's natural. The preeminence has got to come. That's why he says we are products of His genes, of His Spirit. Then we should conduct ourselves, women and men, like the Bible said for us to do. Not Jezebels of the street or Rickies of the organization, but Christian gentlemen, sons and daughters of God. Born of the Spirit of God, manifesting the light in our days and scattering it. That's exactly right. That's what we're called to do. And it's in you to do it. If you will just lay in the presence of the Son, you'll automatically manifest the light of this day. And you'll scatter the light. If you just lay in His presence, if you just allow Him to bathe down upon that seed inside of you, just to continue to water the seed so the seed can express itself,
Amen.
You will automatically bring forth Christ in your age.
Amen.
Whatever you're called to do, whatever part of the body of Christ you are called to represent and to manifest, you will automatically bring it forth.
Amen.
Because He put the seed inside of you. Because the Bible says we are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
There's the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
Now, where the great confusion comes in many times is the word called. Because there's two different types of calling in the Bible. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen.
That's a different type of calling than the bride.
Amen.
Every one of the bride will hear the call and respond to the call.
Amen.
It's not possible for the bride not to.
Amen.
That seed that's inside of the bride. But there's the general call. Whosoever will, let him come. So there's the general gospel call. And we must never forget that, friends.
Amen.
It's such an important thing. Go ye into all the world. Preach the Amen. Gospel to every creature.
Amen.
That's the gospel call. That's to all nations, all peoples,
Amen.
Every person. The prophet preaches a message. God doesn't call a man to judgment without warning him first. There's got to be a warning first. God will visit every soul, every heart before it dies. To give it an opportunity to repent.
Amen.
Because God is not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
Because God is love.
Amen.
God is not cruel. God is not vindictive. God doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't want any to go to hell. He doesn't want any to go into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. He created the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. That's why His gospel call will go out. His gospel call, God. Some will receive it at the 11th hour. Some on their deathbed will accept Christ. I heard of somebody just the other day that it happened to them. Someone was telling me about it.
Amen.
That somebody was a sinful man all their life. And then they went and spoke just at the hour of death. And the person, the old man said, but you know, the grandfather said, I've been a sinner all my life. Do you think God would accept me now? And
yeah.
They said, definitely, the thief on the cross. And that old man made his life right with God, and within a short space of time, he went home.
Amen.
That's the grace of God.
Amen.
But that's a different call than the way God called His disciples.
Amen.
When He came and He saw Peter there, He said, come and follow me.
Amen.
And there was power in that.
Amen.
There's no way Peter couldn't follow.
Right.
Because the Bible says we are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
There's no way that Jeremiah couldn't be a prophet. He was a prophet from his mother's womb. There's no way Isaiah couldn't have been a prophet. There's no way John the Baptist couldn't have been a prophet. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. God spoke of him 700 years before he came. There'll be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." These are the called according to his purpose. This is the effectual call. This is anybody. People say that God is not fair in his economy. Why does he have different categories like this in his economy? It's like it anyway. Amen. If you go to business, you have your management team.
Yes, sir.
No, you have people that are given orders and instructions. They're the ones who keep the thing going. Then you have other people that do other things. It's exactly the same in the kingdom of God. Amen. In order for him to achieve his purpose in every age, Amen. He had to predestinate his seed to that age. He had to place people, place gifts, put callings inside of people so that his will could be expressed in each age and each place. Because the Bible says we are the called according to his purpose. No, you never called yourself. He called you. And he called you according to a purpose. And as you yield yourself to him, you'll automatically fulfill that purpose. It's automatic. Because it's a seed that he placed inside of you. It's one of his attributes that he had inside of himself. And then he knew this attribute needs to be expressed in Dublin. There'll be a deacon called Wilmore. There'll be a deacon called Ellie. There'll be a trustee. There'll be someone who sings called so-and-so. So what he does, those attributes, those genes inside of him, he places them by predestination in exactly the right place at the right time. So that they can express and fulfill his purpose. It's not to fulfill our purpose. It's to fulfill his purpose. And you will think you have free will. Jonah thought he had free will. But God's sovereignty, his sovereign purpose will overrule your free will every time. You'll think, I'm not going. I'm going to Tarshish. God says, okay, let's see. Let's see where you end up. He ended up in Nineveh. Now you'll try to run away from your call. You can't run from your call. Like that time when Pastor Kumbi preached about Joseph. Now what his brothers did to him. They thought they could defeat a call of God. There was a call of God in the life of Joseph. There was a divine purpose. And they thought by being cruel and selling him and getting rid of him and sending him down to Egypt, they were stopping the call from being fulfilled. All they were doing was making sure the call would be fulfilled.
Amen.
They were just working according to God's purpose.
Amen.
And the Bible says, all things work together
Amen.
To the good of them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
So what you're going through now, you don't understand it, but it's working according to his purpose.
Amen.
Even in your disobedience, it'll work according to his purpose.
Amen.
Like with Jonah, he'll turn it around. He'll teach you a lesson. He'll bring it out for his glory. You'll come out of the mouth of the fish god who they worship. God knows what he's doing. Everything works according to his purpose. You know, that's why we do have free will. But our free will is subject to the sovereignty of God. His will is supreme. His will be done in the end. You know, if he has a daughter who doesn't want to be saved, she may run away and do all kinds of things. The prophet met up with that girl in the hospital. And the baby had died in the womb. And she now had septicemia. She was going to die. There was nothing which they could do. And he got there and he said, but I know you. She used to be in the church when she was very young. And then he said to her, sister, do you realize your condition? And she said, yes, I do, Brother Bram. And that's why I called for you. Because I know I'm not right with God. And I don't want to die in this condition. And then the prophet now led her back to the Lord. And we know the story. And then when it seemed like she was healed, suddenly she passed away. And the prophet says, I got angry with God. And I went and I said to the Lord, you owe me an explanation. And he says, he didn't speak to me for about 3 months. He says, when you get an attitude like that, he won't speak to you. He says, but one day in the revelation, he came to me and he said, go and speak to her mother and ask her about what happened a year ago when she fell in the river, when they were out on the riverbank, and her skirt got caught in the roots or the reeds underneath the water, and she got stuck and she drowned, and then managed to revive her. And the Lord says, that's the time she was supposed to go. But because she's my daughter, I couldn't allow her to go until she was ready.
Amen.
That's why you had to go to the hospital. That's why you had to lead her. back to me. She said the things, and then I could take my daughter home. Friends, God cannot lose his children. That's one thing we need to learn. He cannot lose his children. You may be Brother Ramsey. You may be a son of God, and you might say, I've had enough of this message. I'm not going to preach anymore. And you take your ministerial papers and you tear them up and you throw them in the bin because of your discouragement and your disappointment. And then you go to work on a Sunday at your engineering works, your what is it, workshop. And you say to Mose, I think his name was Mose, yeah? Your colored servant, your colored worker. Go across the river. We're not allowed to buy here in Indiana beer on a Sunday. Go and buy me a crate of beer from across the river and bring it back. And that Christian man said, there's many things that I'll do, sir, but one thing I'll never do is buy alcohol for a servant of God. Yeah. And he said, I'm finished up with that, Mose. I've had enough. And then Brother Branham hears about it. He says, another minister went and spoke to him. Then he says, and I went and spoke to him. And I said, Brother Ramsey, what's going on? And he says, I'm finished with it, Billy. He said, I thought he was joking. I said, don't you love him anymore? He said, if I loved him, I'd serve him. And Brother Branham said, I went home and I felt like I'd taken away candy from a baby. You know, that kind of a feeling. And I don't know what to say. He says, next thing we heard, he was in the hospital. Next thing he passed away. Brother Branham says, I could explain that to you. He says, it happens many times. Amen. He says he was a son of God. Amen. But he refused to be corrected. Amen. So God had to take him home. God had to take him home before he spoiled his inheritance. Amen. Before he brought reproach upon the name of the Lord. And you'll say, is that scriptural? Paul said the same thing. Amen. He says, because you're failing to discern the body of the Lord, that's the reason many are sick. Amen. That's the reason many sleep, many die. Amen. Failing to discern the body. He didn't say they die. He says they sleep. They went home. The Lord takes people off the scene early. Like he did to King Saul and different people. Tomorrow you shall be with me in paradise. Amen. Friends, God's kingdom is so perfect. Amen. He knows what he's doing. You and I think sometimes things are going out of cater. What about this person? What about that person? God will never lose one of his children. Amen. God will never lose one of his people. Amen. That's what he's speaking about. Let's just come to our slides here, if you can put them, just to tie it up with what we were speaking the other day. Just to show that these categories that God has. If you click on to make it play there, sister, thanks so much. Our IT needs help these days. What we're looking at the last time, we're looking at these two altars in the sanctuary. And the reason why I was showing these two altars, and we'll have a look once it comes on there, is that it shows the different categories that God has in his great economy. God has different categories of people. You think of the prodigal son while we wait for the saints to fix that. Now, in the prodigal son, in that parable, there's different groups of people.
Amen.
There's the prodigal son himself. He's the Gentiles. He's the ones who sinned and got away from God. Yeah. But in his father's house, there were servants. And the father loved the servants. And the father gave them bread enough and to spare. The father in his economy had servants. God has servants. The prophet says the Jews are his servants. He says, but we are his sons and daughters. So you're finding God's economy. God has different categories to fulfill his purpose. Different categories. So we saw there's the brazen altar, yeah? And we saw there's the golden altar. Because the prophet went beyond the curtain of time and he saw souls under the altar. He saw his people under the altar. And then in the fifth seal, there's the Jews that have been put to death. The souls crying out for revenge under the altar. So we saw that was the altar, this martyr's altar. The place of sacrifice is for blinded Israel and for the foolish virgin.
Amen.
And we finished with that last time, that the foolish virgin are blinded. They were blinded by simplicity. They were blinded by God's visitation. But it shows they don't have the same seed in them. Because you can't blind someone who's got the seed.
Amen.
But they had a part to play.
Amen.
There's a part in the kingdom of God for them to play. The prophet speaks about it in the seals. It says, being a sincere people.
It says, may be blinded by the false prophets. Yeah? Or not predestined to catch this message. He said, but playing their part and being faithful to what they believed.
Amen.
They come in the second resurrection. But when they die, they go under the altar. But now there's another altar, which is for the bride. This is an altar which, if you go back to the previous slide here, we see that this altar here is right before the throne room. There's just a veil between that altar and the very throne room of God. Now, I'll just read it again. The prophet says it in fifth seal, paragraph 389. He says, when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said, a voice began talking to me. I never saw the voice. It said, you have been gathered to your people. You have been gathered to your people. And some man picked me up and set me up on a big high thing like that. And said, I said, why did you do that? He said, in earth you were a leader. He said, I don't understand this. And the voice talking with me, I couldn't see the voice. It was above me. And I said, well, if I've passed on, I want to see Jesus.
Amen.
He was all my life. I want to see him. And so he said, you can't see him now.
Amen.
He's still a little higher.
Amen.
So you can see where the souls are in this sixth dimension. There's the seventh dimension where Christ is.
Amen.
That's where he is now. There's the great throne that John saw. But the souls that are passing on now, those that are the elect, they go into the sixth dimension, into this realm. Those who maybe are the foolish virgin and blind in Israel, this is all the sixth dimension. These are all people that are going to receive eternal life. But they can't go into that realm, which was just for the bride. Just for the elect. So God has another place that they wait now to receive the white robes at the end. The prophet says, the voice said, you've been gathered to your people like Jacob was gathered to his people. And we saw that last time. And some saints were telling me that was the very thing that Jeff Jenkins hit against the prophet for when he left the message. Saying, Brother Branham's a false prophet. It doesn't mean that. Friends, never argue with the prophet.
Amen.
When a man's gone beyond the curtain of time and come back and you want to come and say, that's not what that scripture means. Hey, yet you, without that prophet, would still be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You'd still be believing God is three people. And you want to now come and try to correct a prophet. When he's come back, it wasn't a vision, he was there.
Amen.
And he comes back and he says, the voice said to me, this is what it said in the Bible when the prophets were gathered with their people.
Amen.
And it makes perfect scriptural sense.
Amen.
That you'll gather with your people.
Amen.
It's the gathering of the family of God from each of the ages.
Amen.
Oh, friends, that's why I said in the Old Testament, each of those prophets, the eagle anointing went forth, what to do? To gather the Old Testament elect. When David went forth as rejected king, he gathered all the mighty men. He gathered the Gentiles, gathered Uriah the Hittite, gathered the people from Israel that came to him, and they became mighty men, and they were put over cities now when he came to power. A type of Christ in the millennium. So when David passed away, when Uriah passed away, when David's mighty men passed away, they went down into paradise. Because the blood of Christ hadn't yet been shed. But when Christ died on the cross, he went down to the regions of the lost. He crossed over to paradise. He collected all of the prophets and all of their peoples from there. And he took them up and he put them in the sixth dimension. And they're waiting for the end of all things. So they gathered with their people. David's gathered with his people. Not with his natural family. Absalom, I'm sure, isn't there. But he's gathered with his people. His spiritual seed were there with David. Those, because he had an attribute in him, a seed in him, which expressed Christ in his age. He was the rejected king. And that light, as it reflected Christ, as he reflected Christ in his age, that light shone on other seed. And that allowed that seed to express what it should have expressed in that age. And that harvest now, when it got golden brown, was taken out of the garner. At the end of their lives. And they are now waiting beyond the curtain of time. That's where they are.
Amen.
Now the prophet, speaking of when he went beyond. This is in paragraph 411. It says, you see. He says, I was afraid of dying to come to this. This is perfection plus perfection plus perfection. This is wonderful. It says, you see, we were right under the altar. See, that was it, see? Right under the altar waiting for his coming. Like Jesus came through paradise, brought up Abraham, Isaac, and them. They entered into the city and appeared to many. Yeah? Look, I'll skip a little bit of that one there. He says, now, when he's beyond the curtain of time, right under this altar, paragraph 432, he says, now notice, this precious godly brother John, the fifth seal. He said, if John looked over there and them was his brethren, you see, his brethren that had to suffer, amen, the Jews, the Lord God permitted me to see my brethren. Amen. And the saints that are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Notice, they were not under the altar of sacrifice, the prophet said. Mine wasn't, but these were. They were martyrs. See, mine wasn't under the martyr's altar.
Amen.
So you see how clear he makes it inside of the prophet that they under another altar. Because they've moved in the shadow and the type of the tabernacle. This is only for the elect priesthood.
Amen.
No one can enter. This is for them that are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
To offer priestly ministration, to minister to the Lord. Amen. To offer intercession, like Brother Medson said, kings and priests.
Amen.
To offer intercession, but dominion and authority.
Amen.
So that's what's beyond the first veil. But people can come here and be saved.
Amen.
Even if they don't have a gene inside of them.
Amen.
Even if they're not the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Anybody can come to this altar.
Amen.
Anybody can come under conviction of sin and believe in Jehovah's provided sacrifice,
amen,
the shedding of blood, and get remission of sin. That's a different category. But there's another group of people that are going to move beyond that. They're going to move beyond, like we sing. We enter in. And we keep moving in. As we're getting closer and closer to his Shekinah presence, his presence is bathing upon the seed. And he's starting to express deeper and deeper and deeper the purpose that he put the seed inside of you for. Because every seed will bring forth of its own kind. So as you start drawing closer and nearer to him, going God's prescribed way, he had to call you. This was not for everybody. This wasn't for all 12 tribes of Israel. This was for the Levitical priesthood,
amen,
who God called and separated as a specific people unto himself. But friends, one thing to sober it up. If you're the called, he sure knows how to give you a good whipping when you get out of line. Because you have a higher responsibility, you have a higher calling. There's a higher accountability. So he's going to deal, he dealt with Israel as his chosen people far more severely than all of the other nations.
Amen.
He'd allow the Amorites to do a lot of things before he did anything to them. But let Israel start doing something and God would raise up adversaries against,
amen,
them. Would allow famine to strike their land, all those kind of things. He would chastise his son. Because as many as I love, yeah, I rebuke and chasten.
Amen.
Therefore, that's why God makes it very balanced, that if you his son, he's not going to allow you ever to be arrogant about it. Because being his son, he's going to take you through child training. He's going to take you through things that your friends never had to go through. That's what I say. You come out of school, you come out of college, come out of university, whatever that you did in the days of your youth, the rest of your family, they just went and married, children, nice position at work, nice car, nice mortgage on their home. But you come, you meet the message, your life goes upside down.
Amen.
Everything goes upside down.
Amen.
Nothing works out for you the way that it works out for them.
Amen.
It just seems this is really, really strange. What type? Joseph.
Amen.
David. Jesus.
Amen.
Look at all of it. John the Baptist. Because there's a purpose.
Amen.
There's an eternal purpose. And many times there's the struggle between your natural destiny, yeah, from your parents, which they breed into you, and they train into you, and your eternal, your heavenly calling.
Amen.
And that's where the great conflict comes in. And that's where the prophet got in trouble listening to his mother-in-law. Because she had an ambition. She had a destiny that she desired for her daughter. She said to the prophet, forget this foolishness. Don't go with that trash. Just go get some sense in your head. Go up to your church. Stay there until the church gets big enough and they can build you a parsonage. Friends, God has other ideas.
Amen.
But his ideas are best.
Amen.
Because when it came now to what the angel said to the prophet, because thou hast chosen.
Amen.
The harder way.
Yes, sir.
You have chosen it, your own choosing. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits you.
Amen.
Oh, friends, what an inheritance. But like I said on Wednesday, if it doesn't bathe down in us and become real,
yes,
when we go through these things we never expected, when things go upside down, when we're thrown in the pit like David, like Joseph, when now we persecuted and maligned like David, we think something's going wrong. Nothing's going wrong. Lay in the presence of the Son. Because the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph in prison.
Amen.
The Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. He just laid in the presence of the Son. And the prophet says that very gift that was in him, he kept the anointing on the gift. That very seed, that attribute that had got him into that position. Why he was rejected of his brothers? Because it was that expression inside of him that wanted to express itself. He couldn't help it that he's having these dreams. He wasn't asking for these dreams. Yes, he may have been playing to green, not really knowing how to diplomatically explain the dreams to his brothers, because you don't do that. You don't come to your brothers this week and say, brothers, I dreamt. You know, there were 12 sheaves and your sheaves bowed down to mine. And then everyone gets angry with you and you come back next week again. Brothers, I had another dream. That's how the prophet says it's being plenty green. You know, you've got to learn how to handle it. But still, it was a genuine expression of the seed that was inside of him.
Amen.
And that got him into trouble, but it was the same thing that got him out of trouble.
Amen.
It was the same thing that got him exalted to the right hand of the throne of Pharaoh, because he kept the anointing on the gift. During the times of his child training, during the times of prison in Potiphar's house, he laid in the presence of the Son, and the Lord was baking the greenness out of him.
Amen.
Until he came to perfect faith.
Amen.
He came to a perfect place in his walk. He became perfection, Joseph. And then he was raised up. Things changed overnight. Like I want to say, he woke up in the prison, he slept in the palace.
Amen.
That's how quickly things can change inside of your life. When God has determined that this is the appointed time, that you're ready now. You're ready to handle it. Saints, we don't do that with our children. We don't just let them do anything. This morning when Timothy was in his high chair and we had to go and do something, you'll never leave him in his high chair with other children just there. He can stand up and fall out. You'll know your children are good, but they're not yet golden brown enough to understand some of those things.
Amen.
You know, so you won't give them certain jobs to do, won't give them certain tasks, you won't trust them yet with certain things, because they're not yet golden brown enough.
Amen.
But in due season, as they mature, as natural seed, and they start now to express maturity as boys and girls and young boys and young women, you're going to trust them with more and more.
Amen.
Because you know they're able to handle it, and so much so the Lord with us.
Amen.
That's why I'm saying the most important thing with us is to lay in the presence of the Son.
Amen.
Because our authority directly is correlated, is tied together with our maturity.
Amen.
Our inheritance is tied together completely with how brown that we are inside of our souls. By laying in His presence, there's no shortcuts in these things. So that's why we just looked at that there, to show there's these different altars. But I want to just read something out before we close. Let's get on to this thought a little bit, just to show from the beginning again when the prophet explains. Maybe just to make it clear again, I know there's nothing new I'm going to say, but I'm reading from Questions and Answers on Genesis. Like I say, we're trying to get to a point for us to say, who are you?
Amen.
You know, to realize who we are. Now, the prophet's asked a question is, what is the difference between man in Genesis 1 and man in Genesis 2.
Amen.
Adam in Genesis 1 and Adam in Genesis
Amen.
2. Now that person didn't understand the spiritual principle of it. So the prophet says, okay, he starts speaking about it. Then he says, okay, he says, I've got a beautiful picture in my mind now. If you could take a little trip with me. He says, let's go back 100 million years before there ever was a star, a moon, or anything in the world. Now, there was a time when there wasn't nothing here.
Amen.
It was just all forever and eternity.
Amen.
And all of ever and eternity was God. He was there in the beginning. Now, when we had Michael staying at our house, we went to Tesco, and in Tesco, we were waiting for Katana to do the shopping, and then the New Scientist magazine. So I took it and I was reading, because they said the mystery of the universe. And I find it so very, very interesting, is that the latest finding of science has contradicted everything they ever believed about the universe. Because they believe the Big Bang. And the Big Bang says that as from the beginning, everything started with whatever it's called. Everything started with a bang. And all that was that is now was in this whatever they call it. And it started to expand out and formed into stars and stuff. But the Big Bang theory has always been that as the universes expand, as the universe expands, after a while, because of this momentum, it's going to lose momentum. And if there's sufficient force of gravity, it'll pull everything back in again. So everything should be slowing down over time, which makes sense. Now, you blow something up, you know, gravity is going to work, all the pieces are going to slow down over time. But then I go on and find out that it's not doing that. Everything's accelerating. I said, wonderful. Amen. I said, science, if whoever put their faith in science, now they've got a hard nut to crack once again. Amen. Those same scientists says, yes, you people say, but there had to be God there to do it in the beginning. You know, can you prove God? And I just look at them and say, all of your science and Stephen Hawking and all these brains now. And then they find out in their latest findings as well, if there was a Big Bang, everything should spread out like a balloon. They've now proved that the entire system is flat as a pancake. Go and get the New Scientist magazine. It's not me saying it. I was reading it. I was saying it to Michael. I said, oh, this is nice. Brahman says, science, never put your faith in it. Because they'll tell you something now, and 40 years from now, they're going to change it once again. But God's word never changes. It never changes. God hasn't had to apologize for one thing that he's ever said. I really found it was very interesting. That's when I was reading this in the morning, when he said, in the beginning, there was nothing. There was just the Father dwelling in eternity. He says, now, let's go over to the edge of this banister and look over and see these things happen. Hallelujah. Now, no man has seen the Father at any time, the great eternal. Yes, sir. He says, there's just space. No light. No dark. There's nothing. Now, we can't understand that. Because we're creatures of time. Our souls can when we come to full realization, but we haven't yet. But because we're born in time, we know day and night. We know today and tomorrow. You know, we know this year and next year. We just know this system of time. But this is outside of our system. Amen. This is eternity now. Yes. This is the eternal dwelling in eternity. It's beyond time. He says there's nothing, nothing. But in there is a great supernatural being. Jehovah God. Who covered all space, all places, and all times. From everlasting to everlasting. He is the beginning of creation. You can't see nothing, can't hear nothing. There wasn't the moving of an atom. There was nothing. No air, nothing. But yet God was there. That was God. That's the Father. That's how I put the Father. Now, no one has ever seen God. The next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is it? To you Bible readers, it's the Logos. It's the anointing. Yeah, the part of God begin to develop into something so that human beings could have some kind of an idea what it was. You know, the prophet actually says in the message, he said, if God didn't bring himself down into time, and if God didn't condescend into the Logos, it would have blinded even the elect. Amen. Even the elect would never be able to catch it. So God has said, okay, I'm going to have to bring myself down into time now. And then I'm going to have to bring myself into something which is visible. And then my elect will start to catch and understand. But imagine how great he is. Oh, friends. That's how the prophet says, when we get there in the new heavens and the new earth, he says, what is the hidden manna? He says it's an eternal partaking of the revelation of Jehovah. My, it'll be this eternal revelation, eating that hidden manna. Ah, friends, I'm going to argue with him. Ooh, Rather you than me. Rather give him his position and give him his place. Started to develop into something. He says that was the word of God. Now, but let's not forget that in the beginning, when he was the great eternal, you were in him. Don't put it far away. That soul that's inside of you now, that's something that is inside of you now that responds to the word. That's something inside of you that yearns. That's something inside of you that thirsts for the word. That's something inside of you that's seeking expression. That was there.
Amen.
It was real. It's not just a concept we're speaking about. It was literal.
Amen.
That soul that's inside of you, of Son of God, that soul was there.
Amen.
That soul was there.
Amen.
That's why the prophet says that gives an eternal quality to the elect.
Amen.
Don't ever look down on yourself.
Amen.
You can look in the mirror and you can see the outward man who perishes. You can see him changing from day to day, yeah? But that's something that's inside of you is the most precious thing.
Amen.
Because it's part of him.
Amen.
It's his attributes.
Amen.
It's his genes.
Amen.
It was something in God in the beginning. He had inside of himself. He wanted to express certain things.
Amen.
And you were part of that expression.
Amen.
And when he said, I want to express salvation, I know. On such a day, such a time, in such a place, I'll have my attribute in my Son. And I'll quicken that attribute and salvation will be displayed to somebody. Because God wanted to express himself. So he had his attributes, he had his genes. And then the prophet gets into all about Melchizedek, how Abraham came, yeah, and offered tithes to Melchizedek. Yet Levi was in Abraham. And God counted righteousness for Levi, the second generation after that, his grandson, great-grandson, was in him. But God already knew Levi. Was in Abraham. That's a natural type. And then the prophet speaks about your children were in you. But you didn't know them and they didn't know you. They were in your DNA. But in due season, yeah, through the bedding ground of your mother, they were expressed. And then you can have fellowship. And then expression of you. An expression of you, which is the human side's an imperfect type. But there was the Father. And out came now the Logos. That light. But the attributes went with him. So when the Logos went forth, that pillar of fire, which is the attribute of the fullness of God, God distilling himself down in essence to show something of his fullness to man. Right in the beginning, that soul of yours, that's something that's in you sitting there today. It was in there. That's what the Bible says. And that's what the message unveils. And that is powerful. If you and I will let that bathe down a little bit, friends, we're not going to let the devil push us around. We sure wouldn't let the devil push us around. If you realize the authority that's sitting inside of you, if you realize that you are son or daughter of God, that is inside of you is part of God. That in the beginning you were in God and you were an expression of the attributes of God. You think you're going to allow the devil to push you around?
Amen.
You think you're going to allow this world to entice you like Delilah? No, you're not going to allow that. But it needs realization by revelation. That's what it needs. So the Logos. So he goes on, the prophet says here, he says, this part of God, that was the word of God. Now, how he expresses it, he says, now, God gave himself birth to this Son.
Amen.
Which was before there was even an atom or air to make an atom. See, Jesus said, we read the scripture, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world. Oh, and you can pray the same thing.
Amen.
You can say, Father, glorify your Son. That your Son can glorify you.
Amen.
That glory that you had in you.
Amen.
From before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Let it be expressed. Amen. That we may glorify you. Because that's the whole purpose. Is that he glorifies his name through his attributes being expressed. That's his desire. Now he says, now we get to John 1. In the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
Yeah? And the Word was God. God unfolding Himself down now to a human being. So here comes Christ now, Jesus. So the Word becomes flesh. So the Word, now God's unfolding Himself down, and the Word's going to become flesh. And you were in Him. Because He's the Logos. He's the Word made flesh. So now you're in Him. That's when the prophet says, now when He goes to Calvary,
Amen.
You're in Him.
Amen.
When He's judged, you are judged.
Amen.
When He raised from the dead, you raised from the dead.
Amen.
You were there. That's why we're justified.
Amen.
We never did it in the first place.
Amen.
Now we have to repent of the sins done in the flesh. What you inherited from Charles and Ella Branham, yes, we're accountable for those things. Those things must be repented of and put under the blood and so forth. But that gene is perfectly righteous in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Before God would trust that gene to become flesh in you, He made a perfect atonement for it first.
Amen.
You would never trust the most precious things from Him, from His own bosom, into flesh without making a perfect atonement first.
Amen.
So we were in Him. The prophet says, now that's the Son of God. So it goes back to this. He's speaking. He says, I can see Him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all eternity. Then in His imaginary makeup, He begins to think of things which would be. And I can hear Him say, let there be light.
Amen.
So in that form, He created all things. We'll see it next time. In that form, He created your theophany.
Amen.
At that time.
Amen.
So your gene was stayed in Him, your soul. But He created your theophany. And He said, okay, I'm not going to put this gene in the theophany yet. I'm going to put it in flesh. So that it can develop character. So that in the days of our flesh, through strong crying and supplications, the same as Him, we can be made perfect by the things which we suffer. By the things we go through. Then at the end now, you unite back again with that theophany. And this gene, together with its character that it's developed in this earthly walk, catches up to Him before the foundation, as you were from before the foundation of the world. Let's finish with this. I'll just read two quotes here. The prophet says it in the message, things that are to be. In fact, I'll just read one from the Church Ages here, just to show you that even in the Book of Life, the Book of Life has got different sections.
Amen.
I'm just reminding you, I'm not saying anything new today. The prophet says, Amen. At the very start of our study, let it be known that there's not one scripture that teaches that God is presently compiling a record of names. The Book of Life was written before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
This was all done before the foundation of the world. Also, it's not a question of simply involving ourselves with two groups of people, both of whom have the opportunity to receive eternal life. One group receives it, has their names placed in the book. The other one refuses it, and they don't have their names placed. He says, we'll show by Scripture that multitudes who are not even born again, those under the brazen altar, will go into eternal life.
Amen.
Now, I'll finish with this, and one quote. We'll also show there's another group of people whose names, having been placed on that record before the foundation of the world, cannot under any circumstances have their names removed.
Amen.
That's a powerful group of people.
Amen.
Why? Because God can't lose His genes.
Amen.
God can't lose His attributes. He can't lose His sons and daughters. So there's a certain section of the book which is for His seed. And those names that were there from before the foundation of the world, it's impossible for those names to be removed.
Amen.
It's impossible for those people to be deceived. It's impossible for those people to be overcome by the devil.
Amen.
Never. The devil may overcome your flesh, may overcome you in the mind, but that seed inside of you, he'll be just as defeated against your seed as he was when the seed himself, Jesus, overcame the devil in the wilderness. It's that soul inside of you. Invisible union, the prophet says, any son is the attributes of his father.
Amen.
And just as you were in the genes of your father, in the body of your father when he was a young boy, you were in him. Yet he could not have fellowship with you because he didn't know you. But through the bedding grounds of your mother, you were brought forth into the earth. And you became in the image of your father. Then he could fellowship with you. And so were you, sons and daughters of God. Before there was even a moon, stars, or a molecule, you were sons and daughters of God. For you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God in the beginning. Like I say, friends, it needs to base down big time. Because you all nod our heads and say amen. But if we really understood that, if you and I really, really caught that one there, friends, a lot of things would change inside of our lives. A lot of things would just express themselves. We'd have a lot more authority, a lot more manifestation. But the way that he says it, he says, you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that were in God in the beginning. For there's only one form of eternal life. You don't know nothing about it. Neither did you know when you were in your earthly father. But you are manifest in his image. And you are manifest for the glory and the fellowship of God. Let's not forget our heavenly calling, friends. We'll continue on with the next time. But there's something about it. When the prophet got near to the end, when the prophet moved right into his adoption, when he moved right into his position, and the Lord now really, really started to show his glory through the prophet. The prophet became very humble, yes. But the prophet started to teach and preach these very things. Because to him it was so real. When the Pentecostals were relying on some sensation as an evidence that you're a son of God. That means nothing. Evidences, you don't, it's no evidence. It's predestination. The purpose of God according to predestination. Let's stand. We'll finish up next time, saints. As you stand, the prophet says, in things that are to be, he says, you are all pre-planned by God. Nothing happens by chance with God. He knows all about it. It's all pre-planned. Planned for many generations back so that you could be here tonight. My friends. I like that. Because it makes me all of a sudden not think of going to Alaska anymore. You know, because I see this is all part of his great program. Amen. You're not here by chance. Amen. You're here for his glory. Amen. You're here to manifest him. You're here to show forth his glory in this place at this time. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, if you can, since. Let's put a song on. I'll continue while they prepare. Now you expressed, after his word came in you to light up this age.
Hallelujah.
You're expressing God's life in you because you are son or daughter of God. You are now made, you're sitting in this church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation.
Amen.
And to this people and this neighborhood where you associate. So it doesn't take away evangelism. It puts the responsibility on evangelism.
Amen.
We are to express God in this place which we live.
Mercy, reload my life. Reload my life. Mercy. Mercy rewrote our lives.
so good to me.
It says, when you had your children, you desired fellowship. When they were expressed, you now could get your heart's desire for you to fellowship with them. And friend, the Lord's great desire is for fellowship. That's why He created you. That's why He ordained you the way that He did. He's longing for fellowship. And in that fellowship, that's when we express what we really should express. Now we sing that song, in your presence, that's where I belong. In Amen. Your presence, that's where I am strong. Why not bring your soul once again? Before we had go today, let's come to prayer. Bring your soul into His presence once again. It wants to express something. There's something inside of that soul that's wanting to express itself. Why not express it in prayer? Why not lay yourself on the altar? Why not say, Lord, Father, glorify your son. Glorify your daughter. Quicken me.
Amen.
Overshadow me, Lord. Fill me, Lord, that I may glorify you.
Amen.
And I believe that's a prayer that will be heard. Let's bring ourselves before Him and pray. Any need that you have before the Lord, call upon His name. The Bible says, if you call upon His name, you shall be saved. You shall be delivered. As we saw last week, you can stop the sun. You can cry like Bartimaeus and you can stop the sun. Oh, friends, let's stop the sun today. And let's lay in the presence of the sun. And let's say, Lord, glorify thy name. Let's come to pray before we go.
Father, the Lord Savior, volume of your word ministered unto us even upon this day. Father, Lord, what can we say? But Lord, Father, all we can say is soul to soul fellowship, Lord. One with another, Lord. What, Lord Savior? Could Lord Savior become of us, Lord? Father, as the prophet said, Lord, we would rewrite, Lord, Father, that book of Acts again, Lord Savior. We would do mighty exploits, Lord Savior. All we desire, oh, is that thine will be done as has been ministered upon this day.
Do you have one for us to say prayer? Amen. Let's just stay prayerful as we worship the Lord, saints, this day. May His will be done. That's what we desire.
Amen.
In your presence, that's where I am.
Cannot be.
not forget communion service Friday. Foot washing. Come and wash the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
In bride form, the prophet says. He's in you. I should respect that in you. He's put his seed inside of you. Our friends, how could we not have communion one with another? We were in him before the foundation of the world. We'll be with him in the new city. How could we not have communion one with another in this place? So let's come on Friday. Let's sing one more. Let's sing that song. I'm justified. Are you not glad you're justified? Amen.
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny the thing. I made mistakes. I can't hide from him in you. But I knew that deep within my soul. I felt sorry. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me again, will you?
Hallelujah.
Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You justify, justify, justify. You have not done it in the first place. You justify. Often I'm discouraged when I count the times before. He didn't look glorious when I knew I'm not at all. Then I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry for this. I just, first place you justify. Oh, I'm justified, justified.
By the last prophet's message, and we full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. The time names will be over. Glory, hallelujah, to God in the original land, the original seed, the original word. What I believe, what the Son of Man, what the servant seed, the original life, original seed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, let's bow our heads. Before we close in a word of prayer, you might be, and you might be saying, I don't understand a lot of these things. There's only one thing you really need to understand, is that God loves you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Is that Jesus died for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And if there's something inside of your heart which desires Him, if you're seeking for forgiveness today, if you're burdened for your sin, if you're seeking to know Him, you're the most privileged of the privileged.
Amen.
Because no man comes unto me except my Father draws him first.
Amen.
It shows that God is already working inside of your life. You don't have to understand a lot of things. All you've got to do is take your soul, lay it upon the altar, yield yourself and respond to Him and say, Father, I'm coming home. I've wandered in sin. I've wandered far away from you. I've defiled myself. I've spoiled my inheritance.
Amen.
But today, Lord, I'm coming to myself.
Amen.
I'm realizing that in my Father's house, there's bread enough and to spare.
Amen.
I will arise and I will go to my Father. And I will say to my Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of your servants. Oh, friends, but you're still His son.
Amen.
No matter what you've done, you're still His daughter.
Yes, thank you,
because
Lord.
The Father will come running.
Thank you, Lord.
And He'll say, kill the fatted calf. Bring the best robe and put it on my son. Put the ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet, because this
Amen.
Is my son. He was lost and is now found. He was dead, but is now alive. Just respond. Just respond to that something that is doing inside of your soul. And understanding, it'll take care of itself down the
Amen.
Way. But Christ died for you.
Yes,
the
sir.
Bible says Christ
yes,
Jesus
Lord.
Died
Amen.
For the ungodly.
Thank you, Lord.
The righteous for the unrighteous. The Bible says when yet we were sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Oh, such love that God should love
Amen.
A sinner such as I. If that's your desire today, if there's something tugging inside of your soul, if there's something up deep inside of you, there's a burden within the veil, why not raise your hand as we close in a word of prayer?
Amen.
Raise your hand in response to Him and say, Lord, I respond to you. Oh, great things begin like that, saint. You say, just raising my hand doesn't make a difference. Do it sincerely and see what happens to you. Something will change inside of you, and then as He continues to speak to you, just keep following Him. Follow Him to the waters of baptism. Follow Him to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you will start to express a life that's always been in you, but you didn't know that it was there. But God knew it from before the foundation of the world. And He ordained you to live
Amen.
Such a life. Father, I do thank you for grace, Lord. Surely it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the only one that is perfect, Lord. We thank you for a perfect atonement. We thank you for perfect blood that was shed for us. We thank you for perfect redemption, Lord. We thank you for a perfect message. We thank you, Lord, for a perfect word. We thank you, Father, that your ways are perfect, Lord. We thank you that you have all things in your hands. Father, we thank you for your sovereignty, Lord. We thank you, Lord, Father, that you have all things under your control. So we dedicate each soul into your hands upon this day. in this journey, Father, between time and eternity, Lord. Father, even as you would speak unto souls upon this day, even as you would stir the hearts deep within the veil, I just pray, Lord, that you would, as people have raised their hands, Lord, I would pray, Lord, that you would just reach down your hand and take them by the hand, Lord. Father, robe them in the robes of salvation even now. Lord, let them cast away the old tattered garment, Lord. And Father, you clothe them in the garment of white, Lord. And Father, you start them on that eternal journey, Lord. That journey to the adoption, Lord, is Marasa. That journey back into eternity, Lord. To dwell with you because of the goodness of who you are. And because of the greatness of your purpose. Father, we dedicate it to thee. Bless your sons and bless your daughters upon this day. Bless us as we go from this place, Lord. Watch over us, Lord. Give us traveling mercies. The needs that you have before us, Lord. We ask that you would manifest yourself strong, Lord. We so thank you for the healings last weekend, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for stretching forth your hand, Lord. Thank you, Lord, Father, for that which you have done, Lord. Father, continue to lead us and guide us, Lord, that you may realize who we are in you. That, Father, Lord, we may be what you've ordained us to be. Father, keep your people. Prosper your people. Bless your people, I pray. Father, Lord, expand our borders, Lord, we ask, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Bless our future plans, our future purposes, Lord. Father, Lord, we give it all into your hands. Let your will be done, we pray. Father, as we depart from this place, watch over us, Lord. Father, keep us in your presence. Keep us in the scent of your perfect will. Keep us in your hand, Lord. Bless Brother Tommy in Australia. I pray you'll bless him. Bless the meetings that are there. Brother Christian, as he goes to Angola, bless him, Lord. Father, may you go before. May your hand be upon him, Lord. Bless our brother Manson preaching for Brother Crosby today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the goodness that you bestowed upon us. Now we desire to dismiss with your blessing. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless saints. Let's sing one more, Brother Joe. Just to ask if the musicians and people responsible for sound could stay behind afterwards. We just want to have a short chat about something.
Thank you. And Brother Shelton.
A chatter. A Twitter.
You stay as well. How do you know grace? Amazing grace.
Everything I worked for all of my life, everything I loved was gone. Lowest valley of my life, I was flat on my face, but then the deep hand of Jesus reached out.
Thank you.